coast to coast, cults, and those found. And tonight, today, whenever this episode comes out, we are going to be discussing the Family International. They go by various names like the Children of God, Teens for Christ, Family Love, and several names throughout the years. I am going to have to issue a very, very strong viewer's discretion advised with this episode. Unlike other episodes where we kind of brushed up on sexual abuse within the numbers, not just children, but other numbers, this episode is going to get really, really dark. So we are going to be talking about physical abuse of children, sexual abuse of children. We are also going to be discussing exploitation of children and the traumatic events that just affect their life years and years to come. So listeners' discretion is advised for this episode. Without further ado, let's get into this episode. Now, this cult, the Family International cult, is a new religious Christian movement. The guy that started it in 1968. His name was David Bratberg. He was a former Christian and missionary life pastor. And he was pretty much with the following of born-again hippies who gathered at Coffee House in Huntington Beach in Orange County, California. In 1969, after having a revelation that California would be hit by a major earthquake, he pretty much said to everyone, "Let's pack up, let's hit the road, because God's telling me something and California's going to be destroyed." We see this a lot within Christian prophets, if you want to call them that, and Christian leaders and Christian pastors of all sorts. You know, now let's look at it from inside of a cult. We see Heaven's Gate. They necessarily didn't kind of say the earth was ending, they just said it was the end of the world. And so they believed in a way that if they were taken up like Ezekiel through an alien spacecraft, they would meet God. And you know, we see kind of a prophetic slide of it, along with, you know, I forgot his name, but he's another guy that said the world's going to end, everybody pack up to California, and everybody that followed him sold their things and packed up and waited on top of a mountain in California for God. And there's various other examples that go along with this. His followers of hippies would pretty much convert people's religious or political beliefs. And it comes in many forms, such as involuntary forced conversion through bribery, coercion, or violence. And you can kind of look at it as a on-the-street conversion camp. You know, they're trying to convert these people that are on the streets to believe what they believe in, whether it's taking bribes, giving out them the whole 10 yards. And they would also distribute pamphlets. Leaders within the Children of God were referred to as the Chain. Then the members of the Children of God founded communes, first called colonies, but now they are referred to as homes, throughout various cities. He communicated with the followers by writing letters. These letters are called Mo letters. And over a period of 24 years, he had written nearly 3,000 letters. In 1972, the month of January, Berg stated in one of these letters that he was God's prophet for the contemporary world, attempting to further solidify his spiritual authority within the group. Berg's letters also contain public acknowledgement of his own failings and his own weaknesses. In short, he kind of converted this letter or other letters similar to this one as a miniature written statement of Alcoholics Anonymous. So he pretty much issued a note letter entitled My Confession, I Was an Alcoholic. This was written in summer of 1982 and it was issued as a 1,406th note letter. This was relating to his depression after some of his closest supporters had quit in 1978. Then another note letter reportedly entitled Flee as a Bird to Your Mountain was interpreted by some members, such as Ruth Gordon, as a warning to leave America. God was going to destroy the U.S., according to the letter, and we had to get out. Right, I should say it was necessary. The letter could have been Ruth, it could have been another person, but it's quoted. This, along with the pressure numbers, felt that parents were trying to rescue the children from COG, or aka Children of God. This encouraged members to migrate abroad, first to Europe, eventually to Latin America and East Asia. By 1972, COG stated it had 130 communities around the world, and by the mid-1970s, it had colonies in estimated 70 countries. BBC reported 10,000 full-time COG members in the 1970s. Now, before we go on with what happened in 1976, very familiar term that you guys may have heard of, I want you to kind of understand how a cult is planted. You know, you have extremist, in this case it's David, or you have other extremists like Charles Manson, and then they kind of plant their seed in, ideally, metaphorically, the ground or a person's mind. And that seed is not a good seed. That seed is like an invasive species invading your country. That's what that seed is. Now that seed multiplies, spreads, and doesn't just limit itself to one particular area. And we see this a lot with most cults, that it doesn't just stick to one state, or one country, or one sovereignty. It goes throughout the world. And so now we have this invasive extremist ideology that just reaches all corners of the globe. And that's how a cult sticks, like Charles Manson, Heaven's Gate, Radical Texas Cult, you know, obviously Family International. They use their methods of manipulation, their planting into a person's mind, and that person thinks it's such a great idea that they spread it for more people to hear and for more people to get manipulated by extremist ideology. Now, in 1976, Berg had introduced a new corrosion method called floating fishing, or effing. Don't ask me why they nicknamed it effing. It's not E-F, it's F-F-I-N-G, as if you get the point. Okay, anyhow, which encouraged family members to show God's love through sexual relationships with potential converts. Flirting fishing was practiced by members of Burke's inner circle starting in 1973 and was introduced to the general membership in 1976. So it's low-key prostitution within a cult within Christianity. It's kind of like the Catholic Church and how they kind of do the same thing, just to get bribes, cover-ups, you know, get out of the law and hold 10 yards. But this is just pure sex. And it worked. You know, and I'm going to guess flirting fishing and the ideology of flirting fishing was, you know, more or less a way of seduction, saying, if I have sex with you, you must join Children of God, as it was called at this time. Now, Children of God's name switched in 1977, and then in 1978 through 1981, they started calling themselves the Family of Love. Burke abolished the Children of God in 1978, then renamed his group the Family of Love. He called this reorganization Naturalization Revolution, or R&R. Burke reorganized the movement, dismissing more than 300 leading members after hearing unspecified reports of serious misconduct and abuse of the positions. Reportedly involved were the chain's abuse of authority and disagreements within it about the continued use of flirting fishing. The group was also accused of sexually abusing and raping minors within the organization, with considerable evidence to support this claim. 1/8 of the total membership left the movement. Those who remained became part of a reorganized movement called the Family of Love, and then later they renamed themselves the Family. The majority of the group's beliefs did remain the same. This era of the Family Love was characterized by international expansion. After 1978, flirting fishing was still included in the Family Love, and it had increased drastically and became a common practice within the group. Mole Letter 999, which was released in 1980 of May, stated and was headlined, "The devil hates sex, but God loves it." Now, I ain't saying that he is entirely wrong, because if you read the Bible, God says, populate the earth with the man's seed and the whole, you know, spill of population and sex. He's not entirely wrong. In some areas, flirting fisheries use escort agencies to meet potential converts. According to the TFI, over 100,000 received God's gift of salvation through Jesus, and some chose to live the life of a disciple and missionary as a result of flirting fishing. You know, like I said, that kind of works in the Catholic Church and in other small town churches. You know, I ain't saying it's flirting fishing. I'm just saying it kind of works, you know, in that same sense. You gain members to join your church, to join your cult, to join whatever you want them to join through sex. And you bribe them with sex. And if they threaten to leave, you have one option. You let them go. Or two, you bribe them with more sex. A total of 223,989 people had sexual contact with members of the Family of Love while practicing floating fishing. I like how they used the term practicing within their cult. You ain't practicing sex. You're having sex to bribe people to be a part of the family of love and the future names of this cult. The family then came about in 1982 through 1994. According to the family's official history, the group had far fewer common standards of conduct during the family of love stage than they had previously any time before. In the late 1980s, the group tightened its standards to assure that all member communities, I should say, provide a very wholesome environment for all, particularly the children, and change its name to the family. In 1989, in March, the family issued a statement that in early of 1985, an urgent memorandum had been sent to all members, reminding them that any such activities, including adult and child sexual contact, are strictly forbidden. And they emphasized that, like, without no joke, they literally was like, "You want to perform sex acts with children, you are done." And such activities were ground for immediate excommunication from the family. According to Claire Borick, a spokesperson for TFI, in January of 2005, stated, "Due to the fact that our current zero tolerance policy regarding sexual interaction between adults and underage minors was not in our literature published before 1986. So, in short, they punished people that did this, but they low-keyed allowed it before 1986. Then, according to her, we came to the realization that during a transitional stage of our movement from 1978 until 1986, there were cases when some minors were subject to sexually inappropriate advances. In 1986, this was corrected officially when any contact between an adult and minor, any person under 21 years of age, was declared pretty much a goner from the cult. Now, I don't know what they necessarily mean by minor here. It says anyone that's under the age of 21 is considered a minor. So anyone that's 21 is an adult. I don't know, some people these days, and I entirely get it. Typically, though, obviously in America, legal age for an adult is 18. So, but any person under 21 years of age is a minor, even if they are 18 or 19 or 20. And in the early 1990s, the group broke years of virtual silence and began inviting reporters and religious scholars to visit its commune in La Habra, California, where at least a Washington Post journalist, Gustav Niebuhr, found his members to be a clean-cut bunch, friendly and courteous. At that time, the family claimed to have about 9,000 members worldwide, with about 750 scattered across the United States. That's relatively small to other cults, including cults that we're going to talk about in the future. Typically, cults within the United States are a lot greater in thousands to millions of members than any other part of the world, but it seems like parts of the world had a higher rate of numbers than the United States did. And In this time, the group emphasized its mainstream Christian opposition to abortion, homosexuality, drugs, and drunkenness, and its respect for Reverend Billy Graham. Now, I'm not saying he was a bad reverend, because he wasn't necessarily, but he did make a lot of fuck-ups. In 1995 to 2003, the family came about. Berg died in October 1994, and the current leader took over after his death. Her name is Karen Zerbe. She is also known in the group as Mama Maria, Queen Maria, Maria David, or Maria Fontaine. Assumed leadership of the group, and in 1995, the group introduced the Love Charter, which defined the rights and responsibilities of charter members and homes. The charter also included the fundamental family rules. A summary of guidelines from past TF publications which were still in effect. In the 1994 through 1995 British court case, the R.T. Hon Lord Justice Alan Ward ruled that the group, including some of its top leaders, had in the past engaged in abusive sexual practices involving minors, and had also used severe corporal punishment and sequestering minors. By 1995, he found that the TF had abandoned these practices and concluded that they were a safe environment for children. Nevertheless, he didn't require that the group cease all corporal punishment of children in the United Kingdom and announce any of Berg's writings that were responsible for children and TF having subjected to sexually appropriate behavior. I don't know if that means that he didn't necessarily condemn it or if he thought it was okay. I don't know. I can't answer for that. Then the Family International came about. 2004 to the present. The Love Charter is the family's set governing document, and it tells each member's rights and responsibilities and requirements. While the missionary member statutes and fellow member statutes were written for the governance of TF's missionary member and fellow members' circles respectively, empty homes were reviewed every 6 months against a published set of criteria. The Love Charter increased the number of single-family homes, as well as homes that relied on jobs such as self-employment. Now, before we move on to stuff about recent teachings, including spirit helpers that include famous people, and so on and so forth, we are going to take an ad break with this quick ad sponsored by Anchor. Once again, if you want to make a podcast, do it on Anchor. It's free, get paid, the whole XYZ. Now, let's go to the recent teachings of the family. I think it's actually Family International now. They are beliefs that are based on which they term the new spiritual weapons. TFI members believe that they are soldiers in the spiritual war of good versus evil for the souls and hearts of men. Spiritual helpers include angels, other religious and mythical figures, and departed humans, including celebrities, for example, let's just name a few, the goddess Aphrodite, Snowman, Merlin even, Elvis, Mary Monroe, Richard Nixon even, and Winston Churchill. Don't know why those two are even in it, but they are, okay? And on top of this, you know, I guess they're called spiritual helpers for no reason. But anyhow, the keys of the kingdom is important area in Christianity that TFI believes that the biblical passage, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven," and that comes from Matthew 16:19. It refers to increasing amount of spiritual authority that was given to Peter and the early disciples. According to TFI beliefs, this passage refers to the keys that were hidden and unused in the centuries that followed, but were again revealed to Karen Zerbe as more power to pray and obtain miracles. In short, Jesus saying, if you pray, you can pretty much get powers like Jesus, or miracles will come your way, X, Y, and Z. The TFI members call on the various keys of the kingdom for the actual effect during prayer. The keys, like most TFI beliefs, are published in magazines, looks like comic books, in order for children to learn from them. These beliefs are still generally held and practiced even after the reboot documents of 2010. You know, and this is kind of the, if I remember anything about the Teens for Christ, this is kind of like their ideology in within our Teens for Christ. Like I said, if I remember anything about this part of it, they pretty much are spiritual warriors that, you know, follow Christ, praise God, spread the word, fight evil, and X, Y, and Z. Loving Jesus is a term used by TFI members to describe their intimate sexual relationship with Jesus. I'm just going to stop it right there. No means for a laughing matter, but what the fuck? Like, I don't need to know that people want to have sex with Jesus. I really don't. And I don't think anybody really wants to. But according to this, that's loving Jesus, is fucking Jesus. This is low-key like some Marilyn, Madeline shit. Or not Mary, not Madeline, Mary. You know, the mother of Jesus. Low-key is some of the same shit of weirdness. Anyhow, TFI describes as loving Jesus teaching as a radical form of bridal theology. They believe the church of followers is Christ's bride, called to love and serve him with wifely fervor. However, this bridal theology is taken further, encouraging members to imagine Jesus and joining them during sexual intercourse and masturbation. Like I said, you know, I would imagine loving Jesus as praising Jesus, as the whole 10 yards of what loving Jesus should mean out of the Bible. And definitely when we talk about sexual intercourse and masturbation, masturbation is a sin in the Bible. But we're just going to move on, okay? Male members are cautioned to visualize themselves as women in order to avoid a homosexual relationship with Jesus. I don't know if this is going to get any weirder than this. Okay? I wish I could make this shit up, but I can't make this shit up. Okay? TFI, or actually, let's go back a little bit. Many of TFI publications and spirit messages claimed to be from Jesus himself. Elaborate this intimate sexual relation that they believe Jesus desires and needs. And why the fuck does Jesus need to have sex? Anyhow, TFI imagines itself as a special pride in graphic poetry, guided visualizations, artwork, and songs. Some TFI literature is not brought into conservative countries for fear it may be classified as customs as pornography. The literature outlining this view of Jesus and his desires for sexual relationship with believers was edited for younger teens, then further edited for children. Okay, I don't know what they necessarily mean by edited. It's not that specific. I guess it makes it a more relatable to younger teens, like writing after, or I don't know exactly. Maybe it's just a little bit more appropriate for a younger age. And as children, I don't know what they put in it. Probably it's a lot more edited for children than it is for younger teens. I don't know. If you know, just let me know, I guess. But then we enter a controversial era, obviously. These are called second generation adults. Anti-TFI sentiment has been publicly expressed by some who have left the group. Examples include sisters Celeste Jones, Christina Jones, and Juliana Berang, who wrote a book on their lives in TFI. TFI members are expected to respect legal and civil authorities where they live. Members have typically cooperated with appointed authorities, even during the police and social service raids of the community in the early 1990s. And then the criticism comes, obviously, with every cult, controversial and critical. The family has been criticized by the press and the anti-cult movement. Ex-members have accused the family's leadership of following a policy of lying to outsiders, being steeped in a history of sexual deviance, and even meddling in third world politics. The family replies that it is a victim of persecution. An organization called FreeCog was founded by concerned parents and others, including deprogrammer Ted Patrick, to free members of the COG from their involvement in the groups. Academics categorize TFI as a new religious movement and as a cult. I don't know if that's necessarily referring to everything and every little group and branch, like the Teens of Christ or the whole, what the family is today, because I know the Teens of Christ is still around as part of within this world of the family, I guess. As I mentioned earlier in the podcast episode, at least one individual growing up in the family, Verity Carter, during the Children of God era, described being sexually abused from the age of four members of the cult, including her own father. She blames the philosophy of David Berg, who told members that God was love and love was sex, so that sex should not be limited by age or relationship. Carter also explains of being repeatedly beaten and whipped for the smallest of transgressions, and she was also being denied music or television or culture or other contact with the outside world, so that she had no idea how the world worked, other than how to manipulate the sodomites, or outsiders in short, like social workers, from taking the kids. Author Don Martin interviewed numerous members of the family for his book called Jesus Freaks. In the review of his book, Paul Burke Arnold Tri-Fi butchered that name, describes Burke as drawing from the remnants of hippie life. People with nothing to lose, nowhere to go, and no Christian backgrounds, kind of like Christian Madison. During this time, Christian Madison was a hippie, and he necessarily, I wouldn't say, believed in God, but he taught the teachings of God. One ex-children member of God, or one ex-children of God member, I should say, Jerry Goldland, describes himself at the time of joining the group as penniless and so depressed that the Children of God scraped him off the streets. Members were learned to spot, you know, a vulnerable person. We called them sheep. Pressure to raise money could also be intense. Ex-member Golden says that the members who were good at raising money and distributing the pamphlets were called shiners. Those with poor sales were called shamers. If you miss your quota, you could not come home for dinner. There's notable members of the past and present, like Jeremy Spencer and founding member of Fleetwood Mac. He left in 1971 when he joined the TFI. All those who were raised in the Children of God were Christopher Owens, and then Celeste Jones, I should say, Rose McGowan, River Phoenix, Joaquin Phoenix, Rain Phoenix, Summer Phoenix, who are all a part of Hollywood, Susan Justice, Ricky Rodriguez, who committed a murder suicide in 2005, which he killed one of the women who raised and allegedly sexually abused him, then himself. Thor Edwards, who's author, you know, there's even media featuring it, like The Jesus Trip, Children of God, Cult Killer, even A&E's Cults and Extreme Beliefs. And that's pretty much it by the Family International. It's kind of a fucked up cult, like every cult is. I'm not saying that every branch of the Family International is representing the TFI in a bad way. I do think that some of the other branches, like Team for Christ, is a way of covering up the TFI's extremist beliefs. And especially when it comes to the part of TFI's beliefs in Jesus should be fought. I don't necessarily know if other branches are covering up for their ideologies and to saying that you need to be raised a believer and a spiritual warrior and the whole. The perfect Christian ideology that you hear at church. Like I said, I do believe that some of it does cover it up and their actions. So they create other perfect Christian branches like the Team for Christ and whatever else they have now as a way to cover up for their sins. But without further ado, thank you for joining us for this episode of Coast to Coast Cults. See you next time on Coast to Coast Cults.